Well, it's the M.I. Cricket Letter coming around the South Road. The straight hammers and bows and that old Southern slouch. Please, ain't nothing but incense in my atmosphere. I'm bending corners in my lag bar, cause that's how we been rolling here. Yeah, the slang is in effect because it's Georgia kicking the khakis. And I need to pack in your beaches cause you're supposed to cuss. Catfish and grits is all my flow. Flow rolling steady in that caddy, but the 50 bottles got to go. See, juice and gin used to be my friend from the beginning. Now I'm just a player sipping sauce every now and then. To catch a buzz like a bumblebee. Niggas who try to fuck with me get sprayed like Ray, cause it ain't nothing.
See, my heat is in the trunk along with that quad lock. No, my heart don't pump no Kool-Aid. Jumping, you'll get too sprayed. Who raised your block? The one and only outcast. Many a niggas falling fast and I continue blasting. Quickly, they ain't gon' get me. Got something for them. The devil up in your grill and you still don't even know them. Show them who's the okay. Like collard greens and hoe cakes, I got soul. That's something that you ain't got. That's why your style is rotten. Stop in the land of ATL, where nothing but pimps fully equipped, quick to make a sale swell. Rolling, got my pockets, business booming like rockets. Folks try to stop it, but they know that it's bad.
Yo, welcome to another episode of the Cold World Podcast. How's everybody been? What's been going on with folks? Coming off a great show. The last one I did was the Father's Day show. That got a really dope reception. That's what's up. I'm glad folks enjoyed it. My pop seemed to enjoy it, you know. So today, I wanted to do something. It was just a few things that was on my mind. And you know, one of the things I try to do in this podcast, man, is I try to just be as honest and as from the heart as I can possibly be. So there are no notes today. None at all. I just want to recap a few things from the week and, you know, talk about some things that I think is relevant to the folks that listen. You know, when I made this podcast, I was never really sure of who be listening, who it would touch, who would be affected. You know, over the past few months of doing it, you know, folks have sent messages and said that certain things have kind of maybe inspired them, or they've had questions and they want to kind of push on those things. And I really appreciate it. I just wanted to put that out there that, you know, for the most part, I think that I've been responsive to every message. You know, I think that that's just dope. I enjoy being able to have a conversation about some of the things that I talk about. And you know, the things I talk about are things that I'm really passionate about. So one of the things that happened, what has been happening in this country, is since that kid murdered those folks in South Carolina at the church, there's been a string of other bombings or church fires, or however they've done it. They've destroyed a bunch of churches, like folks that don't like black people. And I'm watching how the media is like talking about this stuff, right? And how they're not talking about certain things. Like that, a lot of this stuff just wasn't even, you know, I think that a lot of stuff just wasn't, it's not being covered the way it would if it was white folks getting their churches, you know, blown up, getting them torched, being targeted. And then there was the whole thing about the forgiveness piece, and that folks felt that black folks was asked to forgive too soon. It was just a lot of craziness, and it's a lot to process, right? And I'm not doing this from like a real polished place. I didn't write these things down beforehand, but I definitely have a lot of strong feelings about it. And I just want to share that. So, and I'm pausing a lot because I want to make sure I choose my words, you know, correctly. But I mean, those are war crimes, man. Like, just this thing happening over and over and over again, like multiple churches were, and we just kind of sit back and let that happen. And I mean, I see a lot of Facebook posts, but I don't know how much action I'm seeing. I don't know if anybody feels, I don't know if things are happening that would discourage somebody from doing these things. Like, I just don't know. But for whatever reason, anytime it looks like black folks about to get upset, what folks do very quickly is ask for black folks to be calm and to calm down. This strikes with me really, this strikes real near and dear to my heart. And the reason why is that my entire existence, I've been hearing that, right? Like I've always been the kid that when I get upset or I have something to say about something, people spend a lot of time calming me down as opposed to maybe dealing with the thing that might be upsetting me at that moment. Like, I am an aggressive person. I am gonna be seen as aggressive. I'm a black man. I think I could stop there. I don't know if it's because I'm a black man that has a certain level of education. I don't know if people think that I'm more dangerous because I have an education. I don't know, or if it's that people think that that education actually doesn't mean anything, and that these the animalistic rage that is a black man is going to creep up out of me. And I'm not able to have a heated conversation or discussion with somebody without attacking them. But whatever it is, I feel it. I feel it every time I have conversations, right? Like, where I tend to disagree with whoever happens to be in power at that moment. And that happens. And I don't think I'm a troublemaker. I do think that I believe what I believe, and I don't like to back down very often. Now, why am I going on this rant, right? One, I don't think it's a rant. But I see this is a microcosm of what I'm seeing happen with black folks, right? Because around this situation, black folks are being told to calm down before any outrage even happened. It's like Minority Report. You feel like something's about to happen, so let's go ahead and preemptively arrest these people. Let's preemptively stop this before that rage is unleashed. The hell, man? So, and I put that comment on, like, Facebook about, you know, how they always ask us to forgive. Now, let me say that, I mean, I'm a Christian dude, I need to be a much better when I'm not really as good at it as I should be. Let me say that first. Like, I'm not here to judge nobody. But I'm saying that because, like, forgiveness is something that was that is rooted in me, right? It's something that has been taught to me from a very early age. And I do think that forgiveness is really important. I think that there is power in forgiveness. I truly believe that, right? And so I'm not mad at anybody that forgave. Like, I think that, you know, I think the forgiveness is essential for that person that's doing the forgiving, right? What I have a problem with is I can't dictate how somebody else forgives. Let me explain. Your church gets burned. The people you love... Not even church is burned. No. We're not even going to say that because that makes it sound like happenstance. Somebody runs into a church and kills the people that you love. And then you soul search, you grieve, you do whatever it is you need to do. And then you take it upon yourself and you forgive that person. I think that's a beautiful thing. I think that that's you a much better person than I am right in that moment, right? Very different than random groups that are outside of the immediately affected group telling you that you should forgive. Let me be more specific. So when let me just say it. That's why you did a podcast. You did a podcast because you can say whatever you want. When black people were murdered by a crazy white dude, and then the media is automatically showing like these nice, pleasant pictures of this kid, and they're talking about we need to understand the level of psychosis he was experiencing in that moment. We need to understand the deeper rooted issues. First, it's just the most disrespectful thing I've ever seen. When we put Trayvon Martin on trial when he was murdered, right? But with this kid, we need to understand. I need to talk to his parents. I need to know. That's strike one. You've already just dehumanized me as a black person, and then you are subconsciously, not even subconscious no more. Folks have gotten bold. That's not even subconscious. That's just overtly saying that white life is definitely more important than black life, in my opinion. This is my opinion. Is it okay? Does it take the sting off when I say this is my opinion? Okay, cool. In my opinion. In my humble opinion, I want to make sure I make other people feel comfortable, because as a black man, that's something that I have to do, apparently, right? But then for a group that's outside of the black community to say you should forgive this kid is even more disrespectful. It's so disrespectful. Actually, I don't even care if the group was black. Like, that's not something that immediately happened to me. So that's not for me to say, right? That's for me to, like, display empathy and to be supportive. But I can't tell anybody how to feel in that moment. I just can't do it. And so, but these are things that we've seen, and we've seen it over and over and over again. And you know, and I think you're going to continue to see these things. I think you're going to continue to see it, because there has been no recourse for these things that have been happening to us. And in our society now, in our social media driven 15-minute attention span, like, culture that we have now, it's more difficult for a leader to emerge, right? I mean, in this cell phone culture, it's really difficult. So we tend to have a bunch of these different types of movements or things happening, and they happen in more in sex. It happens in like groups. It's harder for a leader to emerge. So it's just something that we need to feel like we need to address. I'm making a note because I wanted to like put a pin in that, because I want to come back to that. So you're going to hear me typing, because I really want to come back to that at some point. All right. So that's just problematic for me. And I don't have an answer for you. That's just me giving you somebody's raw emotion on how these things are playing out. And this isn't going to probably be the most... this isn't going to be the best connection that I'm making right now. But this is why Rachel Dolezal, or however you say her name, like, it's just so out of pocket for me, right? Because you don't get to choose. Everybody want to be black, but don't nobody want to be black when the cops get there. The saying is, because again, it's my show, and I guess I get to say what I want. But where I grew up, what they would say is, everybody want to be a nigga, but don't nobody want to be a nigga. Let me explain what that means. And no, even if you're a white friend, you can't say that. What that means is that our culture, what we bring to it, our style, the beauty that like we produce, it's always good enough for the world to copy. It's always good enough for people to borrow from. Always. But then they'll turn around, and it's not everybody, but I think this is a cultural thing. We'll turn around, and then we'll continuously show you just how much you don't matter in the grand scheme of things. will show you just how much that life doesn't matter, right? And then I know somebody is going to say something to the effect of, you know, and I know you're talking about white cops killing black kids and things like that. I'm talking about all of it, man. I'm talking about all of it. Like, I am an intelligent human being. I can hold multiple emotions at once. So what that means to me is I can be outraged by the things that I'm seeing in the news and how black folks are being treated by authority figures. And I can also be just as upset and angry about the type of black on black crime that I see. I'm able to do that. I promise you, I'm able to balance those two things. There is no world where black people are like really mad that cops are killing like black kids, black men, and we are not mad about the black on black crime. How we exert like the energy around those things are different. The reason why they're different is because one is a very formidable like power structure. And we can go deeper in. I don't want to do all that. And luckily, I don't have anybody across from me that wants to argue with me about that. And we can kind of go down that rabbit hole. But I'll come back to that. But anyway, I just care, man. I want something that's built for us. And I don't see anything wrong in saying that. I don't see anything wrong in saying that I love being black and I can love my Latino brothers and sisters. I can love my Asian brothers and sisters, my white brothers and sisters. I can love all these people. But we need something we need something, man. And I started to work to build this Energy Converter platform to address that, right? And it's not, I didn't build that just for black kids, but I built it with black kids in mind. I built it with kids that's growing up in the trap in mind. I mean, it's just that important. And it's frustrating, right? Because it's frustrating because it's so hard. It's so hard to get the proper support that folks need, right? It's so many folks that have dominion over our communities, over our people, over our kids, and don't understand a lick of what's going on. Not a lick of it. That's not willing to go inside of these homes. And that has to really understand that it ain't just what's going on at the school. It's not just what's going on with that teacher. It is an entire ecosystem. And the only way that you can really inject and add that type of change, you gotta affect the entire environment of that young person. So one of the places that we gotta start is that people gotta see positive images of themselves. They got to. I wanted to be a sports agent so bad, y'all. So bad. You don't even understand. And I know people probably heard this a bunch of times, but damn it, I really wanted to be Jerry Maguire. I loved Arliss Michaels before that, and then I loved Jerry Maguire. And it just wasn't real. It was Tom Cruise, man. It was a great actor. I didn't see a black dude that looked like me and spoke like I did doing that. It just didn't seem like there was any hope to do that. I didn't know how to get from point A to point Z. And so what Energy Converters is, it's highlighting the amazing things that's happening in this community, for this community, by this community, and by people outside this community. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're just doing some dope work and it's really benefiting people. Like, I don't care. We need to highlight that, though, because only things that get highlighted here are the negative things. Or when Jon Stewart feels that things need to be highlighted. Now let me finish, because I know people are going to be in an uproar. I actually mentioned Jon Stewart's name in a way that may be less than flattering. Stop it. I love Jon Stewart. I think Jon Stewart is dope. But why does Jon Stewart have to be the gatekeeper for white people to really understand, or not even white people, just for like this society now, to really understand when something is foul, when something needs to change? I don't understand it. I love watching The Daily Show. Partially because it's one of the only times that we get that our issues, our top billing, is when he gets really upset and pounds the table or cries or something. Jon Stewart is an amazingly talented dude. We're going to miss him dearly. I'm sure he's going to be okay whatever he decides to do. Tim Weiss. Tim Weiss gets the cake out by telling a room full of... Tim Weiss. I can't even be mad at Tim Weiss. Tim Weiss gets the cake out by telling a room full of guilty feeling white people the most basic stuff. He might as well be saying 1 + 2 = 3. All he doing is saying, hey, that thing you did, yeah, that was racist. And he makes so much money doing it. It's like, that's word. Awesome. I don't know if I should be outraged or just, or happy. I am so confused. I've seen Tim Weiss speak multiple times. And every time I go, I just bug out the room. I swear, I go and I sit. Like, Tim Weiss, the last time I saw him in Oakland, I think it was like a few years ago at this point. And I went and I just watched people. I watched the type of people that came through the door, you know, and I just bugged out. I bugged out at the stories that he would tell, which were cool stories. He's a great talker. He's a great speaker, right? But the stuff he's saying is not rocket science. He's just saying, like, that thing that you did that you didn't think was racist was actually racist. So stop being racist. We all are racist at times. What you're doing right now by denying it is hella racist. That is, I just gave you every Tim Weiss speech in history. Thank you. Oh. Tim, you should call me. I'm saying. I need to learn that hustle. I need to learn it and understand it. Because this is crazy. But I'm not mad at you. This is the other thing. Rachel Dolezal, you was cool. You were cool until you said that you were black. Listen, I got a lot of white friends that are dope people that are doing some dope work. And you know what? There are some white folks that just grew up in the hood and they just really do identify with the culture, but they don't say I'm black. They might date a black dude. Even if they don't relate to the culture, they might date a black dude. Black dudes tend to kind of be in vogue, especially for people, women, that's not black. That's a different show. Listen, I'm not mad at you. I put my grandfather's picture up on Facebook. Like, my grandfather is Italian and I think Creole, something like that. Like, he's why does they come? I get it. This is what I'm saying is, Rachel was cool. If I never saw her, and I just heard the credentials, right, about the work that she did, about her commitment to the community and all these things that she was trying to do, cool. Then it's like, but I'm black. Oh, come on, man. You ain't even have to do that. You just didn't have to do that. You didn't have to continue to lie about it. You just didn't have to be that disrespectful. You could have got your Justin Timberlake on, and you could have been getting all this black money because you was already getting it. Now you a fraud, though. To me. You can't claim to... You can't sneak into my house, get comfortable on my couch, and then when I realize you there, make me feel like I'm crazy and insensitive because I want you to get the hell out. That's not how that works. I'm not taking nothing away from the work that she did. I just think she's crazy. Crazy. But you know what's even crazier? Is she gonna be okay. She gonna be all right. Because I done seen her on more on the Today Show. She got a bunch of other interviews lined up. People continuing to ask her stuff. And I thought Melissa Harris. I love me some Melissa Harris Perry. I love that sister. I really do. I just knew that Melissa was going to get 2 seconds away from slapping this girl. I knew that when she went on Melissa, Melissa was going to, like, set her straight. I got to watch the interview again. I just... kills me. But everybody afraid to have these conversations about race. And then Obama goes on a very popular podcast. It'd be nice if my podcast was that popular. Actually, I don't know if I want it to be that popular. People have more issues with things that I say. But he goes on there and he makes a very well put statement. He just basically was saying, hey, racism ain't over because racist people are just more courteous to not say nigger in public. And people lost their minds. Yeah, man, First off, he's black. He can say the word. I just want you to understand how that works. Like, you know, amongst black people, there's a conversation about who should and who shouldn't, all that stuff. But I mean, he can do that. That's usually a conversation amongst black people. And then some really privileged white folks tend to get mad about that conversation and be like, well, if you get to say it, why can't I say it? It's just, they don't, if you asking that question, you kind of miss the whole point. And a lot of this reason stuff is your fault because you just can't accept that you can't do something that a black person can do. Like that type of privilege right there, that's the whole thing. That's it right there. That's the thing. Right there. And people lost their minds on Obama, yo. Like, and then they got the folks, they got the talking heads from Fox. You know, they had to get the black people. They got some black people that they dropped that bag on them. And they was like, hey, yeah, now we'll, yeah, we will get in him. I don't understand people, man. I don't understand it. I don't understand how, why we like to highlight the bad things in society so much. I don't understand why it's so hard for somebody to do something good for a community. I don't know why it's so hard for me to be able to find, let's see, money to run an organization that would work specifically with a group of kids that are vulnerable and that need the help the most. But somebody can make a fart app and it gets hundreds of thousands of dollars in venture capital. I guess I understand if I sat and really thought about it. Like, I understand on a general level. But, you know, but we're not going to be whiny about it. We're just going to keep pushing. And we're just going to continue to push things forward and make things happen, yo. But here's what I do know. And here's what I want to leave on. Because I think I've gotten past the point where I believe in heroes and villains. Heroes and villains are for the comic books that I used to read and all the Marvel movies that are coming out now and into 2071, however long those contracts are. I don't think I do that. I don't think I believe in the heroes and villains things no more. I believe in people. And I believe that people do good things and bad things. Like Martin Luther King Jr. was a person. He wasn't a deity. He wasn't God. He was not Jesus. He was a person. He was a flawed person. He was a brilliant person, but he was very flawed. But what he was able to do as a person set along a course of events that would change the world for a lot of people, despite those human flaws, despite the fact that he cheated on his wife, despite the fact that he felt a lot of doubt in what he was doing and how he was doing it, despite the fact that a lot of times women got really disrespected throughout the civil rights movement because he wasn't Superman and he wasn't Christ. He was a man. He was a man that put shoes on. He was a man that, like, that sweat when he got hot, right? He was a man. And I'm saying that because everybody listening, like, you're a person. You are a man or a woman. And you can have an impact despite what you may have done or what you, you know what I'm saying? Like, despite those things. Like, we can all make an impact. It's possible. Malcolm X was a man, not a deity. Harriet Tubman was a woman. Mother Teresa was a woman. And she made a decision to do things. And she did them. I'm working on it. I don't know what God got in store for me. I don't know the type of impact I'm going to have, but I'm definitely working on it. Somebody's been telling me, and it's been coming up a lot for me, but, you know, sometimes the biggest problem with progress is perfectionism. Did I say perfectionism? I don't even know if that's a word. It is right now. I'm tired, but whatever. I do have a need for things to kind of be a certain type of way, and it don't always jive well, and it can hold you back. Working on it. But we can have an impact. You can have an impact. So you'll continue to see things come up on the new platform. I'm going to put this podcast on that platform. I'm still going to keep the Podbean page up because I need something to hold all of this stuff. But check it out. www.energyconverter.org. We spell converter with the O-R at the end instead of an E-R. I'll be putting out some new content on the Huffington Post soon. And I want to take some young people that have ideas of how they want to improve their community or what their experience may be. And I want them to write. And I'm going to help them with this writing. And you know what? When it's done, we're going to do a profile on that young person and put them on this platform of Energy Converters. And drum roll. That was a horrible drum roll. But I'm going to pick some of those articles and some of those artifacts that these young people create, and I'm going to feature it on Huffington Post because I think that's dope. I think if I was 13 years old and I wrote something from the heart and somebody helped me make it sound dope, and then they put it on a global... They put it for folks all around the world to see, but mostly in the United States. I think that would be dope, and I think that would give me a different level of confidence. And you know what? It might be crazy enough just to, like, change somebody's life. It can start the chain of events to happen that puts that kid in a better place. So I'm with it. So if you know somebody that's down for that, leave a comment. You can email me at charles@energyconverter.org, energyconverters.org. Yeah, it ends in O-R-S, not just O-R. O-R was taken when I paid for the site. All right? And I'll work with those people. Anyway, I'm going to end this rant. I've enjoyed talking to you all. I love doing it. It's like the best thing. And I will be hearing from you all. Hopefully after you listen to the podcast, and if you like it, I will be in Atlanta next week working with some teachers for about a week, and then I'll be back here. But hopefully I can do something while I'm out there. But anyway, at any rate, please continue to take care of yourselves and each other, your community. And with that being said, God bless. Have a great week. Peace.
Cannon. So I'm watching her fine ass walk to my bedroom and thought to myself, that's the shape of things to come. She said, why in the club you don't make it precipitate, you know, make it rain when you can make it thunderstorm? I'm like, why? The world needs sun, the hood needs funds, there's a war going on and half the battle is guns. How dare I throw it on the floor when people are poor? So I write like Edgar Allan to restore, got a cord umbilical attached to a place that can't afford no landscaping or window draping. This old lady told me if I ain't got nothing good, say Nathan. That's why I don't talk much. I swear it don't cost much to pay attention to me. I tell it like it is, then I tell it how it could be. The hood be requesting my services. Oh, don't get nervous. It's step your game of time. These ain't them same old rhymes designed to have you dancing in some club. Niggas ride to me, women be off in they tub, exfoliating with they pom-poms, yelling, go 3,000. I'm in my whatever, bumping while 100 miles and running, 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 running. So
coming, woman, coming, sit down, heard you need some plumbing, dunnin', I'm in a swell mood, a rather swole mood, until she told me that she told dude that she'll be back, she's going to the store. I didn't know she had a boyfriend, so the door I pointed her to, I said, call me when y'all break up. I don't